good day, good night, and welcome to World Cup Today. Three games left in this World Cup. Two semifinals. Well, technically there's four. There's the small final, the third place game. But Dwayne, I think it's coming home.
It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming. Football's coming home.
Which
you don't
want
to hear me sing again. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Well, Patreon, if you don't want to hear Dwayne sing again, patreon.com/ Sports Podcasting Network. But Dwayne, which meme did you like the most? I kind of like the Shawshank Redemption one. That was a pretty good one where Andy puts himself in the office, puts a vinyl, and it's coming home, starts to play. I like the Friends one too, where Marcel, the monkey, puts the music on again, and then you'll start to dance, it's coming home. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, Shawshank Redemption is probably my favorite movie of all time, so that is the one I'm going to pick. But yeah, it's England's in the semifinals of a World Cup. England. What world are we living in?
They scored more goals in this World Cup than they ever did outside of 66. So that tells you all you need to know.
I mean, we're almost at the point that those of us who cheer for England can admit that the ball didn't go over the line in 66. We're almost at that point. I'm not there yet. So Germany, it went over, totally. Wink, wink. But yeah, we're almost there.
Oh, what a game. Harry scored. Not the Harry we anticipated. Kane did not score yesterday, but Harry Maguire did. And you know what I thought was funny, Dwayne? 2 years ago, almost to the day, Harry Maguire was in the stands, first of all, for Euro 2016, watching England play. And the other thing is, Harry Maguire was putting together a lamp in his apartment. And he spent about 8 hours trying to put that lamp together. And then he tweeted, "I'll get my revenge on you, Sweden, one day. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I will." He did. It turned out a header goal on a corner to send Sweden packing.
What is with all of those extra sort of metal bits? Like, what? IKEA, come on, man. I love your stuff. It looks great in the showroom, but why do I always have metal bits left over?
There's always one widget over, or you're always one widget short. It's either one or the other. And you know what? You would think both could not happen at the same time. You would be wrong. You have the wrong one you have left, and you know what you're missing? You don't have.
Yeah, and the Swedes, they need to, like, invent the screwdriver there, because that little twisty thingy that they always give you that just doesn't work. It makes your hand hurt.
Allen key. It never works. But, Allen key.
I know, but the Allen key, is that what they're called? Yeah, I'm such a... Anyone can hire me for, work. I can do it. I don't even know what things are called. Like, Phillips? I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever. Anyway,
Phillips is one,
but
type
a key
of...
is out. Although I will always love the Swedes for IKEA, or for not for IKEA, for ABBA. So, God love you. Mamma Mia to the end, till I die.
2-0. Dele Alli scores on a header for the second goal. I was at Pub Burgundy Line. I've never seen this pub. Well, it was almost dangerous at one point. That's the atmosphere that you get when England plays in a quarterfinal, punching his ticket to the semifinal. Croatia, England, France, Belgium. Two cracker of semifinals.
Yeah, absolutely. Two intriguing semifinals. And look, either England or Croatia is going to be in the World Cup final. Think on that for a second. Either England or Croatia is going to be in the World Cup final. And, I know that you're a France fan, so with all due respect, it would be lovely if Belgium made it there, and we knew that we were going to have either a new champion or a champion that might as well be new. That'd be fun. But, yeah, I mean, 66, it's a long time ago. The Leafs have won the Stanley Cup in the time since England last won the World Cup. Think
that's
on
not
that.
Fair, though, because it's like the year after. So, yes.
Yeah.
But, no.
Still, it is true around the same time. So, yeah, black and white footage. Yeah, I was at the Opera Bob's Public House here in Toronto, which is the Manchester City bar normally. But during the World Cup, it has become an England headquarters, and the game started at 10 a.m. local time here, which is very early. And they were actually turning the people away at 9:20. It was that packed. It was that insane. And there are like three other England pubs in the immediate area, and all of them were turning people away because people were coming to the door of Opera Bob's and going, hi, we're just at the Dog and Bear, and they're at capacity. Can we get in? And the bouncer's like, sorry, man. You're out of luck.
Like,
and
too bad.
That's how crazy it was.
Well, it was the same here too, Dwayne. Thank God I know the owner, because otherwise I probably not got in. But once I get close to... Yeah, so some people trying to get in. I'm like, oh, it's 9:45. I'm just going to walk into this bar and to watch the game. No, you're not. It's been full since 8, so bye-bye. And what I thought it was hilarious, three random people walk in. Oh, yeah, we're just coming here to have breakfast. We don't care about the game. Yeah, there's a restaurant three doors down. You leave. Don't stay here.
Yeah.
Or you got 5 minutes to eat and get the F out.
You're welcome back tomorrow if you'd like, but you're not getting fed today. No, yeah, well, there was no table service at all at this bar, packed to the gills. And that's, look, it says something. England has a pull, right? I mean, as much as we make fun, as much as we joke, you know, Montreal maybe is a different gig, and France has the same kind of pull there, but there's obviously a big English population in Montreal as well. But the rest of this country, where we still have the Queen and our money, let's not make jokes here. England is probably the most popular team in the world because of, you know, not good stuff in some cases, but they are
because of
popular.
Colonialism. Oh. Pretty much.
Yeah, well, because they took half of it over back 200 years ago. But also, you know, but it's beyond that too. It's also the Premier League, and it's the fact that we see these players all the time. Like Dele Alli, for instance, is a guy that might just be, if he played in Bundesliga, we'd be like, ah, he's a good player, but no one outside of soccer bubbles would be talking about him. But because he's place refers in England, you're like, oh, we all know him, he's a superstar, right? Which has always been the burden that has been on top of England that has sort of weighed them down. But for some reason, Southgate has figured out a way to bring this crew together and have them play not just up to their potential, but I would argue they're playing above their potential now. This is the best I've ever seen England play
ever,
period. And I remember 1990, they bumbled their way into the semifinals in 1990. I mean, they shouldn't have won the quarterfinals against Cameroon. They shouldn't have. Yeah. They did. But they really were outplayed in that game. Milla had a great game in that, you know, he danced in a corner a couple times, and it was an incredible performance. And they, you know, almost, like, they tied Ireland in that World Cup. Like, people don't remember this. They only remember the fact they were in the semifinals. This is a complete performance.
Gareth Southgate. Okay. Sir, Gareth Southgate, no matter what happens from now, I think he believes to be knighted. But this performance by the entire team, I think, has to be summed up by a few sentences that Gareth Southgate mentioned after the game. He mentioned to the reporters, like, 18 months ago, I had conversations with the players that are playing right now, mentioning, gentlemen, yes, you're having great success at your club level, having great success winning trophies and having parades. But you have no idea what having success with England could do. You will be household names across the world, legends of this sport. And this is where they got already. You've seen the images, London, millions of people going crazy, raining beer in pubs all across England, from Plymouth to Leeds to Manchester to Newcastle to London. Streets were white and red, filled with three lions chanting, "It's coming home." The images that the players mentioned after the game, yeah, we saw a few of them, and we kind of live in a vacuum while we're here because it's day training, and then getting ready for the next game, and always next game and trying to move on. But I think Gareth Southgate's onto something. This will never be equaled on the club level for every single player that's playing for England right now.
No, absolutely. It's raining beer. I get more songs in my head right now. Rain Man, raining beer. Anyway, no, it really has galvanized. I listened to Football Ramble just before I recorded this today, and that's one of the things that they brought up. And you know, Football Ramble are funny guys, and that's kind of their gig, right? That they're almost half comedians as much as analysts. They know the game, but regardless. But they got serious for a minute, and they said that one of the great things about this run by England is it's really brought people back into England for a long time. And I know a lot of English people. I know a lot of English expats. I know a lot of folks, you know, that have flown over from the island, both from my background and the fact that I do soccer stuff all the time. And the England national team has almost been a joke. It's almost been like no one, people have been afraid to support it, afraid to be patriotic about it, because you know, first off, you go back, they remember, if they're old enough, they remember the 80s, and they remember that there weren't great elements that were around this team, and they remember what English football was back then. They also have had so many frustrations, so many losses over the year, that they've kind of just sort of solely focused on the club side. You know, when you talk about club versus country, I don't think there's a place in the world more than England where club rules, and that's the case, that tribalness of it. But what they said in Football Ramble, and what I'm noticing too, I was at Opera Box, which is a Man City bar. There were United fans there. There were Spurs fans there. They were all like, there's someone wearing a Beckham jersey in the Man City bar yesterday, and no one batted an eye because it was all about England for once. And that's not been the case for a long time. And this is kind of a nice thing to see, because you know what? There are a lot of people that listen to this that probably aren't England fans, and they think that England gets overhyped and over talked about and over whatever, and maybe that's true to a point, but
usually that's true. That's very accurate. Like, even before this thing, we were talking about England going far. We were kind of half joking. We're not joking anymore.
No, well, they have gone far. I mean, they're going to play the maximum amount of games possible, whether it's a third place game or whether it's the final. They're going to be in one of those two. So they're going to play as many games as possible for the first time in 28 years. So this isn't a joke anymore, but really it has galvanized support behind this team in that country. And look, it's a country that's been divided for a while, just like over here, right? I mean, not to get into Brexit talks right now, but this is kind of needed. It's kind of needed for them. And it's really a refreshing thing for them. I was in England when Andy Murray won in Wimbledon. And I saw what it did to that country then. He's Scottish, obviously. I know that. But he's Great
Team
British.
Team UK. It was Team UK
Great
that Britain. Year.
He's a Great Britain. Yeah. He's Scottish when he loses. He's British when he wins. That's the joke. But I was there, and I saw how much that country got behind it. And this is probably 50 times that. I can't even comprehend what London, what Manchester, what I don't know, Leeds, Bristol, whatever. Well, I can't even imagine how excited it is right now. And it's a good thing. I mean, that's what the World Cup's about. And the same thing applies to Croatia. I read an article yesterday talking about the Croatian politics are pushing through controversial stuff right now, which isn't good, but they're pushing it through because they know no one's paying attention because they're all watching football.
Yeah, that's kind of a terrible thing, to be quite honest. But
sure. it's about the game. What it brings, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, well, it's like the Ottawa Fury releasing Kyle Porter. It's exactly the moment yesterday where England started playing. Like, okay, no one's watching us right now. Everyone's watching their TV. The Ottawa Fury releases Canadian player Kyle Porter, which we had on the show last year. So there you go. And we're like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, it is a good time. You have a bad news to say to your significant other. It's 10 minutes in the game. Just do it. Just go. Go for it and pray.
As England's winning the World Cup. Yay! Hey, honey, I'd like a divorce. Hey!
I don't care. Bye. We just won the World Cup.
I'll have a pint, please. Anyway.
Bring back some beer.
That's good. I fancy him. Anyway, that's how that's going to go. But, alas, where were we? No, it's a good thing. The World Cup brings joy to people. That's why I love sports. I mean, look, I'm having a good run. Everyone who knows me knows this. I'm having a really good run right now. But it was about a 20-year slump before that. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. It just brings joy, and that's a good thing.
And something's got to give, Dwayne. If England is going to have some positive results.
Have you been watching TFC this year?
Exactly. Something's got to give.
Yeah, there you go. It's fine. Another missed penalty. I have a moment. It's fine.
Why would Javinko keep taking them? Like, anyways.
And that's for soccer today, which will come back next week. But anyway.
Yeah, so right now you're not seeing this, but I'm showing my bracket to the camera. And I've been right.
Oh, yeah.
100% so far in the knockout round. Outside of Russia, but it's fine now because they're gone. My last four were France, Belgium, Croatia, England. And it's happening. Now, we've talked about we've talked about England beating Sweden. Croatia-Russia, what an entertaining game, to be quite honest. I don't know about you, but as much as Croatia looked amazing in their group stage, their two knockout games so far, they've been pushed to the brink by what's supposed to be smaller teams and been pushed to penalties. They lost momentum during that game, but were able to recover in time to be effective in the penalty shootouts. Go ahead. I was just going to say... Is it a depleted Croatian team that is moving on to the semis?
I'm not sure. Well, they're in the semis, so like the bottom line matters. But you're right. The last two games have not been impressive, but they've found their way through. I mean, they should have finished that. They should have closed that game yesterday. I was shocked when they didn't, right? That goal to tie it up was like, oh, really? Do I have to watch more of this? But it seemed like a game that no one wanted to win.
Well, yeah. But that goal from Tereshev, wow, what a touch.
Yeah, no doubt.
I've been loving this ball. We've talked about this for the last few weeks, but the ball, the dip, the curl it gets, just a little touches. Oh, man, it's just beautiful to see in action. But, yeah, this game was amazing. Russia taking the lead. Croatia coming back 8 minutes later. Pushed to extra time. The first goal in extra time in this tournament. Croatia, Vida, very chiseled Vida, who took his shirt off. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why I don't take my shirt off. And then and then Russia.
It's an impossible beauty standard. It's an impossible beauty standard.
Yeah,
come on, man.
Thanks, exactly. Yeah. I almost said it. But, and then Russia tied it up. And I was like, you know what? Why not? We all know what we've been talking about with Russia in the last few weeks. And we don't have proof, so we can't prove anything. But there's weird results out there. So you can pass judgment. But, you know, those Russian players still gave it every single thing they have. They maybe had more than they had before, but they gave it all. And for me, yeah, that was impressive. Russia played extremely better than we all anticipated. We never thought they would get out of the group, never mind make it to the quarterfinals, with maybe two kicks away of making it to the semifinal. This Russia team has surprised a lot of people, and I would not be surprised if we have a Cheryshev, a Golovin, and an Akinfeev finding new jobs with new clubs that are a bit more reputable than the ones they were at.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they can keep their same nutritional supplements that they've been doing, but allegedly. No, look, I'm glad Russia's out. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was cheering pretty strongly against them, not just because I have Croatian friends and I like that Croatian team. So I've kind of been cheering for them throughout. So, you know, really, I'm going to have a team in the final that I can throw all my support behind regardless of what happens. And I like France, too. I kind of like that team. So it's a good result that way. But, yeah, look, you can't – what did we say in the preview? You can't put skill in a needle. So allegedly or not, they did actually perform. Even if they had help, we don't know. But if they had help, they still actually performed. What was the gentleman's name in Icarus? I forget the director's name that you know did the drug plug. Spoilers that gave himself the drug.
Well, the doctor, the Russian whistleblower doctor, is Grigory Rodchenkov.
Yeah.
Daniel, I believe, the director of Icarus, but. His name is Casey right now, but yes.
If you don't know, he gave himself a steroid regimen for, you know, a PD regimen for 7 months to lead up to this. It's a bike race, which is considered the biggest amateur bike race in the world. It's in France. It's like a mini Tour de France, basically.
Yeah.
So he did that, and even though he was doped, he still finished. Well, he finished
lower
where he did the year before. When
Exactly. He performed worse than he did the year where he was clean.
Yeah, so it just doing PEDs don't necessarily mean you're going to perform. You still have to actually do the stuff, right? So it is – this is kind of a backhanded compliment, but it is a compliment nonetheless to say that Russia did actually perform. They did actually have a little skill that they put on display, and they deserve some credit for that regardless of how they – you know, if there was anything going on. I mean, I'm never going to completely be on board with any Russian athletes, and that's nothing to do with the Russian people, just Russian athletes, because I mean, there's too much history there, right? They made their bed, so I can't cheer for them. I just can't. But I'm, you know, they did perform, and they did add value to the tournament in terms of their performance, just as South Korea did in 2002, and we all have questions about that too. But they still added value to it, right?
Yeah, exactly. When a host country makes it far into a World Cup, I think it's a cliche, but you do feel the involvement of the fans, the stands, the cities. It is just a continued momentum. And look, Qatar is not making it to the quarterfinals in 4 years, right? This is not going to happen in 4 years. They're lucky if they make it out of the group with like 9 Brazilians out of 11 players that have been naturalized for the last 8 years. Qatar has been planning this thing for a long time, but still, it's a long way away from making it out of the group stage. And it's funny that the Brazilian player who plays for Russia, Fernandez, who has been a Russian citizen for now 8 months, so just in time, he played one day more than Brazil did. So that was not, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, well, yeah, the four teams have played more longer than Brazil has, right? But yeah, just as a quick aside, the all three host nations are probably aren't going to make the quarterfinal in 2026 either. I think the States and the U.S. and Mexico are going to struggle to get there. But you know, Canada's going to fly that flag.
It's coming home.
We're hosting the World Cup in 8 years. My God, 2026. That's insane. Anyway,
wait, I was having this conversation yesterday. I'm like, see those fan fest, those festivals in like Moscow and Samara with like a million people. Well, this is St. Catharines. This is Place du Festival in 8 years. This is Yonge and Dundas Square in 8 years. This is Commonwealth Place in Edmonton in 8 years. And sorry for you, BC. You're not into the party. But we're going to have fun.
I think it's going to be King Street West is where they're going to have the fan fest. But yeah, nonetheless. They might have Dundas Square too. It's going to be insane. This city is going to be insane. But it's the first game. We'll probably be here, and I think about that all the time. Is oh my God, this is happening here in 8 years. 8 years, I'll be alive in 8 years.
Knock on wood.
I'm hitting my head right now.
We mentioned it too. But yeah, okay. So let's just move on now to talk about the semifinals for a second. The battle of the neighbors, the battle of the francophones, France, Belgium. Who writes this stuff?
Yeah, well, good person. You know, the France versus England would be, if you're going to write a novel, that would be the final for sure. But yeah, that's an intriguing game because both of those teams they're sexy. They're sexy teams, to be blunt, right? And I'm talking about football sexy here, not taking their shirts off, although if you're inclined that way, probably too. I don't know. Yeah. But they are really attractive footballing nations that are both going to be playing. And it's you know, France has a history. It's not, as I said the other day, it's not in the Big Four. It's not one of those teams yet. But it's right there on the cusp. It's kind of the 4+1, you know what I mean? So there is that big team element, and I'm glad there's one big team left in this World Cup. But you have three other kind of underdog teams, and I would say that all three of the remaining teams beyond France qualify as underdog teams. So that adds that sort of element to it. So if France gets through, then that's great because we have one of the great teams in the world that are still going deep, and a team that I think that if they go to would be their third final, then you can start to talk about them as being among, you know, the great nations. You can add maybe a fifth team to the Big Four.
Yeah, well, just to add to what you just said, Wayne, three finals in 20 years, you're not talking about one golden generation that carried your country. You're talking about multi-generational player development success. So in a way, that's what it would mean if France would make it again.
No, for sure. And France is one of the greatest footballing nations in the world right now. In fact, if you do a fuller picture of it, a fuller view of it, add the women to the picture, France is arguably the best footballing nation in the world, along with Germany right now, in terms of both sides of the gender and all of the game from top to bottom, right? So that's a great story, and that's good that they're there. You have Belgium to it, though, which is, as I said, I think is arguably the most talented team in the world right now. And a team that I don't know if it's fair to say they've underachieved, but maybe it's taken them a little longer to break through to the very top till now. But now they're in a World Cup semifinal. You can't ignore Belgium anymore. You can't say that they're not a great – this isn't a golden generation, a pure golden generation. I don't know whether it's sustainable in Belgium. I don't know enough about their infrastructure, but a really incredible team with the most talented players – you know, them in France, they have the most talented players left in this tournament. I mean, you could add one or two here, Kane, Modric, but by and large, across the board, the talent level in those two teams is much higher, and that's a good thing that one of those two is going to be in the final. I kind of hope it's Belgium, not just because there's a lot of City fans. There's a couple City players that are prominent on Belgium, but also just because of the newness of it. But I'd be okay with France, too.
It's going to be a crazy game.
This is a perfect, yeah.
Right, this game between those two teams, we anticipated as a fireworks filled game. Right, you have the attacking power of France that every single game they look just a bit better, and then you have Belgium who struggled against Japan, but then beat Brazil in a fashion that was shocking and in a full measure way. So no. I think this semifinal between France and Belgium could be a dud, but I think it's going to be an amazing open offensive game where the likes of Pogba, Griezmann, and Mbappe on one side Lukaku, De Bruyne, and Hazard on the other will give us football 101 clinic.
Yeah. How do you say football's coming home in French?
Ça rentre à la maison. Le foot rentre maison, à la maison.
The maison. I know maison. Anyway, yeah, I think probably that is going to be your winner. I'm not gonna go so far to say this is the real final or something like that. You hear all the time. This isn't quite, you know, Golden State playing Houston in the NBA. This is something a little different, which really was the true final. We saw that play out.
Bye-bye, yeah, LeBron.
Thank God.
LeBron, yeah, well, LeBron. Now,
are the Lakers the least likable team in the world? They really are. God, they were always unlikable, but now they're truly unlikable. Anyway, that's from a basketball show.
If you like LeBron, you might like the Lakers. It's like, I know it's not your cup of tea because you're more of an East Coast guy and not necessarily a West Coast type of guy, but yeah. But let's talk about the other semifinal before we wrap today's show. Croatia, England. Did Croatia look good enough? Is performance of England versus Colombia and Sweden? Let's not forget, Sweden's all good and all great. This victory 2-1, first clean sheet of the year of the tournament for Pickford and England. What a save by Pickford, by the way, like twice during this game. Late, last ditch effort, left paw, boom, great save. But is this England's success against what could be seen as teams that are maybe just a bit below Croatia? Are those success repeatable versus Croatia?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think Croatia is more talented than England across the board, but it's not a big gap. Like, I mean, England, one of the things I talked a minute ago about how, you know, England's become a punchline in many ways. But the reality is England is not a bad team. It has never been a bad team. It's just never been the best team in the world, but it's been a top 20 team forever. There's talent on that team. They're absolutely capable of beating Croatia. And that's what's so amazing about that semifinal is you can make an argument, a strong argument, for either one of those sides. And they're both likable teams too, I think, anyway. I know if you're not an England fan, there's anti-England fans out there that probably don't like England. But if you take a step away from that, if you're pure neutral, they're both likable teams. There's good stories on both sides. They're absolutely capable of winning this. Croatia is absolutely capable of winning that as well. They have not played well in the knockout round. And I don't know whether that's nerves or whether that's just maybe that they're tactics. Them coming down a little level from what they did. But yeah, go ahead.
The tactics of Croatia has a bit baffled me in the knockout stage. Not being afraid to just keep the tie score, not necessarily pushing forward too much. Maybe there are certain reluctancy to push so hard that you expose yourself in the back. I think that might be an issue. But if you look at England, the way England's been playing, all but one of their goal has been scoring on set pieces, majority on headers. And Dele Alli's goal was a run of play, but it was a great header too. So England does have some advantages, physically speaking, versus Croatia in the box, tall defenders, tall players, being able to create aerial threats. And in a game that could be very close on the run of play, sometimes just an instant of magic by a player named Harry, just pick and choose, you can have a few choices. you never know what can happen in the box.
What's with the English and naming people Harry? Who else names people Harry nowadays? Anyway, Maguire.
When did Harry Potter come out? When did the first book come out? About 20-something years ago. And, well, that explains it.
Yeah, I never connected that. I'm a little bit too old for Harry Potter. I'm gonna admit something here. I never read it. I've never read Harry Potter.
Yes! We're two. Good. Well, that's not about myself.
There you go. I was forced by one of my exes to watch all of Harry Potter's movies, but I really can't remember them because I didn't give to you know what. But anyway, no.
Well, while you were watching England, you were replaying 1966, the game in your mind anyway, so you never really watched it.
Precisely. There you go. All right. Yeah.
Off with their hats. Off with their hats.
I'm gonna name, you know, if I had a child, I'd name him Pablo. So it's. I'm a weird guy, so it's fine. Moving on.
Yeah, because he's going to be born with no hair. So, like, okay, his name is Pablo, and his nickname is Zava.
And bleeding. He's got like a bleeding with hair down there. Pablo Zabaleta is the perfect human being. Anyway, I'm crushing on my favorite player right now. But, no, What were we talking about before I started talking about Pavel Zabaleta? How are we talking about Pavel Zabaleta when we're talking about England? Only I can twist it there. Only I can bring it to Pavel Zabaleta. It's a talent. Anyway,
England.
The Maguire goal, though.
Yeah.
Can I talk about the Maguire goal?
Go ahead.
Have you ever seen a more perfect corner? Oh, my God, that was the perfect corner. They should put that in textbooks. That's how you take a corner. That's how you score off it.
Yeah,
and that is an advantage for England, for sure.
Corner, and the ball comes at about 8 yards to the second post, and that's like the perfect corner. You're right. Just a bit past the penalty spot. Counter flow of the actual play. So the ball goes, for example, just for the sakes of argument, goes from left to right, and the shot goes right to left. The keeper is already confused, and it's 1-0 England.
Is anyone... It's hard-pressed to think of a player that has raised their status more than Harry Maguire in this tournament, though. He's been incredible. Not just he scored that goal, and that's obviously what we're talking about here, but when you look at his overall play, he's been vital to England in this tournament, and that's not a player that anyone would have really tagged at all to be a key player, right?
Trippier has impressed me, I'm not going to lie, and Ashley Young, too. Those wingbacks, the way they play. No one is making fun of Ashley Young anymore, right? People used to make fun of Ashley Young. People used to make fun of Ashley Young when he was named in his first starting 11 at this tournament. Like, oh, Ashley Young, yeah, of course, he's passed it. The tactics and generation has passed him. Well, he whips the ball with a nice curve in the box. That's exactly what England needed multiple times, and he delivered multiple times. Literally, he delivered the ball at the perfect spot multiple times.
All right, I'm going to defend Raheem Sterling right now. You ready? Okay. A lot of people were ripping on Raheem yesterday because he didn't score those two great chances he had in the second half. Raheem Sterling is not a natural scorer. Raheem Sterling is a natural winger. And he's playing a little more centrally than he does for City. And he has, you know, let's be honest here, Manchester City would win the World Cup. This is a much more talented team than any of the teams we're seeing. So he has more talent around him at the club level. So to expect Raheem Sterling to finish all his chances is a bit silly. But he was creating and was dangerous throughout that match. So anyone who tells me or tries to tell me that Raheem Sterling was a problem for England yesterday isn't really watching with their eyes wide open. They're watching with their biases on. He absolutely was vital to creating space. The speed England has is an absolute, and it's more than Sterling. There's a lot of quick players on that team. It is absolutely vital to how they're playing and why they're successful in this. They're athletes. They're very, very athletic, and there's value to that. Often when we talk in this game, when we talk about athletes and say athletic, it's kind of a backhanded, not even a compliment. It's sometimes like a full-on insult, right?
Oh, yeah,
we want our players to be technical.
He's playing route one because they're athletic instead of passing the ball. But in this case, as you're right, Raheem Sterling's speed, his pace, is able to create space on the field. And we've seen it with the chance that Harry Kane had, and he missed it by a few inches. But this was all created by Raheem Sterling and his movement on and off the ball and the wherewithal to lay back and leave the 1 or 2 yards of space for Harry to take the shot. And those are all decisions in movement that you have to take in a fraction of a second, and you have to utilize your knowledge of the game to do so. So I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, no, Raheem had a great game yesterday, and he was absolutely key to this. And he'll be key to getting by Croatia. Now, look, if I'm a betting man, and sometimes I am, but if I'm a betting man, Croatia is the slight favorite in this game. Croatia is more talented, especially in the midfield. But this is a coin flip in many, many ways. I don't know what the World Cup final is going to be. In the past, there's always been a team. I think France will probably win. That's who I picked at the start. That's who both of us picked at the start. So that's going as predicted. It's the only thing in this World Cup that's going as predicted, though. So, you know, I don't know. Like, if you had to, I'll make you pick right now. I'll put a poll up for our listeners after, too, as well, to get them to see who they think is going to win. I suspect France will win that poll, but make an argument for me, Kevin, that France won't win this from here.
Well, I can't, but what I can say is, France-Belgium, that type of semifinal might leave one of those two teams a bit depleted in the fact that if it becomes a shootout, like I anticipate, with back and forth and a lot of running and a lot of great plays, the winner might come out of it maybe more depleted than they would have if they would have faced the other side of the bracket. And Croatia-England, I don't feel it's going to have the same type of openness to the game. And I think that'll be a bit more of a chippy, a bit more of a battle physically maybe, but not to exert the amount of energy that they will on the other side of the bracket. So I do feel that there's a chance that the winner between France and Belgium comes out of the semifinal a bit depleted.
Fair enough.
But
yeah,
it might
be
coming
home.
France
is gonna win, but yeah. But this is the great thing about this. Is this the best World Cup ever? Like, I mean, we can almost have that conversation now because there's only four games left. Is it? It might be. I can't remember one. I've seen Euros. Euro 2000 is the benchmark in many people's minds. And I don't know how many of our listeners remember Euro 2000, but it was an amazing tournament. It was unpredictable. It was high scoring. It was an incredible tournament. And the Dutch really added a lot of value to it because they were the host. And it was a great tournament. But Belgium was also a host. But anyway, this, I can't remember a better international tournament than this, a more unpredictable one, one that has given me more up and downs, and you just don't know what's going to happen when you turn it on. I don't even think we need to watch these last four games. It would be nice. I mean, the last two World Cups have gone to extra time, but they've been terrible finals. Hopefully this thing ends on a up. That's what I'm cheering most for in the last few days of this World Cup, is that it ends the way that this tournament is provided, with a great final that doesn't, you know, it can go to penalties if it's 3-3, but I would ideally like to see a true game, because the last two finals have been awful, bluntly, as the last Euro final was awful too. Hopefully we get a great final this time.
Yeah, hopefully too. All right, we'll wrap it up for today. We'll be back. Dwayne and I need to talk. I don't know if we're going to take a day off tomorrow, back on soccer today. We'll see. But follow us on social media to make sure you never miss a live show. Dwayne is available at 24th Minute. I'm available at Kev Laramie. And we'll be back shortly with another edition of World Cup Today and Soccer Today as well. You can find the podcast versions of our shows anywhere you get your podcasts. And this show is brought to you by sportsinspired.ca. Get your World Cup-inspired collection until it's too late at sportsinspired.ca. And as always, until next time, I'm Kevin Laramie, and for Dwayne Rollins, have a great soccer.